It's March 1st, 2023, 12:58 hours. My name is Ward Green, and welcome, little children, to our study. Today, we're going to look at Haggai chapter 1, because we've reached the 1st of March in 2023, but that 1 in March of the day number, that's going to indicate that we start a chapter 1 in the book of some Bible book, and in this case I've chosen, as it seems appropriate to Jehovah, Haggai. So Haggai chapter 1, and then we'll do another first chapter, and we'll take a break from Psalms until we come around to the ninth of the month, because that's when we'll pick up again on Psalm 149. So Haggai chapter 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of Jehovah occurred by means of Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, "This is what Jehovah has said. As regards this people, they have said, 'The time has not come, the time of the house of Jehovah, for it to be built.'" And the word of Jehovah continued to come by means of Haggai the prophet, saying, "Is it the time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, while this house is waste? And now this is what Jehovah of armies has said, 'Set your heart upon your ways. You have sown much seed, but there is a bringing of little in. There is an eating, but it is not to satisfaction. There is a drinking, but not to the point of getting intoxicated. There is a putting on of clothes, but it is not with anyone's getting warm. And he that is hiring himself out is hiring himself out for a bag having holes. This is what Jehovah of armies has said, 'Set your heart upon your ways. Go up to the mountain, and you must bring in lumber, and build the house, that I may take pleasure in it, and I may be glorified,' Jehovah has said. There was a looking for much, but here there was just a little, and you have brought it into the house, and I blew upon it. For what reason? Is the utterance of Jehovah of armies. By reason of my house that is waste, while you are on the run, each one in behalf of his own house. Therefore, over you the heavens kept back their dew, and the earth itself kept back its yield. And I kept calling for dryness upon the earth, and upon the mountains, and upon the grain, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon what the ground would bring forth, and upon earthling man, and upon domestic animal, and upon all the toil of the hands. And Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, sometimes called also Jeshua or Jehoshua or Jesus, that Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and together with Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and all the remaining ones of the people began to listen to the voice of Jehovah their God, and to the words of Haggai the prophet, as Jehovah their God had sent him, and the people began to fear because of Jehovah. And Haggai the messenger of Jehovah went on to say to the people, according to the messenger's commission from Jehovah, saying, "I am with you, people, is the utterance of Jehovah." And Jehovah proceeded to rouse up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remaining ones of the people, and they began to enter in and to do the work in the house of Jehovah of armies, their God. It was on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of Darius the king. That's the end of Haggai chapter 1. And if we look back to verse 1 of this chapter, comparing to verse 15, the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of Darius, it was the first day of the sixth month in the second year of Darius in verse 1. So 23 days have passed since verse 1, And this Darius is Darius the Mede. And the way we know that is because, in other words, he's not the Darius who ruled in 522 and onward. He's the Darius who ruled. Let's look in our history. I've saved this scripture, Ezra 3 and 2, to show that this is where. Well, look at this. Yeshua, the son of Jehozadak, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel. Right. This is Ezra telling the story of how they had founded the temple. Right? He's telling the story. And so this happened after 539 when the Israelites were liberated. So the other way we know that, let's look up Zerubbabel and Jehozadak and see where else these names occur. Let's go to pardon me for the noise. Let's see. Those who came with Zerubbabel. Ezra chapter 2. So there, Zerubbabel is mentioned in Ezra 2, verse 1. Verse 2, actually. Verse 2. Ezra 2 and 2. Zerubbabel. Yeshua is also mentioned there. So we know that these are the ones who lived at the time, just who were actually involved in the work shortly after 539, when Cyrus conquered Babylon, 539 BCE. So let him go up to Jerusalem, Cyrus said, whoever wishes to go, basically, whoever has it. In their heart to do that. And so whoever's spirit had been roused by the true God in verse 5, and then right, but then so we know that Zerubbabel was the one involved in that early founding, the first founding of the temple after the exile of the Jews in Babylon. That was Zerubbabel and Joshua. That is to say, Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Joshua the son of Jehozadak, I should say. So they were the ones that Haggai is talking about. So Haggai is talking about his prophecies in the year approximately, in the second year of Darius, which would be 538 or 537. Right. In the second year of Darius the Mede, who was ruling with Cyrus at the time that Cyrus conquered Babylon, because it was the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. Darius was a Mede and Cyrus was a Persian, and they ruled together. So that's it for that book. I think there might be more here that I wanted to mention. Well, there's more here because so they were apparently in verse four, sort of slacking off, sitting in their paneled houses, you know, just basically chilling and doing nothing. And Jehovah says, no, you got to get to work. So that was Haggai chapter 1. That's the basic idea of that. Now, let's look at Genesis chapter 1, brothers, little children. Genesis, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth proved to be formless and waste, and there was darkness upon the surface of the watery deep, and God's active force was moving to and fro over the surface of the waters. I want to say I'm not feeling very well today. I did shovel 4 inches of snow. That may have something to do with it, but I do still feel the toxicity, and I'm still reviewing whether I should take K2 or not. I'm still taking it. Since yesterday I've taken 240 micrograms each of MK4 and MK7 without vitamin D today. I have had some calcium, but I watered down the cream with a lot of water, and I took a small piece of cheese, brie, and that's all I've had today in calcium. But, well, I had a little calcium with the grapefruit, that's right. So the calcium could be making me sick, it could be the K2. I don't think the K2 should make me sick, though. But I think shoveling the driveway might be making me sick. I just feel a little nauseous, lack of appetite, you know, just listless would be a good word for the way I feel. But I'm also a little bit, very slightly nauseous. I've never had vomiting since I got this. Intoxication through the vitamin D and calcium. And I'm not going to take much calcium, and I'm not going to take any vitamin D. So, and I may not take any K2. I want to try different things and see what works. But I will be drinking lots of water with the standard saline formulation of 0.9 grams per 100 milliliters. We went over that yesterday. And God proceeded to say, let light come to be. While there was God's active force and darkness upon the face of the watery deep. Then there came to be light. Verse 3. After that, God saw that the light was good, and God brought about a division between the light and the darkness. And God began calling the light day, but the darkness he called night. And there came to be evening, and there came to be morning, a first day. And God went on to say, let an expanse come to be in between the waters, and let a dividing occur between the waters and the waters. Then God proceeded to make the expanse, and to make a division between the waters that should be beneath the expanse, and the waters that should be above the expanse. And it came to be so. And God began to call the expanse heaven. And there came to be evening, and there came to be morning, a second day. And God went on to say, let the waters under the heavens be brought together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it came to be so. And God began calling the dry land earth, but the bringing together of the waters he called seas. Further, God saw that it was good. And God went on to say, let the earth cause grass, let the earth cause grass to shoot forth. Why is that hard to say? Vegetation bearing seed, fruit trees yielding fruit according to their kinds, the seed of which is in it upon the earth. And it came to be so, and the earth began to put forth grass, vegetation bearing seed according to its kind, and trees yielding fruit, the seed of which is in it according to its kind. Then God saw that it was good, and there came to be evening, and there came to be morning, a third day. And God went on to say, let luminaries come to be in the expanse of the heavens to make a division between the day and the night. And they must serve as signs and for seasons and for days and years. We've talked about this. And they must serve as luminaries in the expanse of the heavens to shine upon the earth. And it came to be so. And God proceeded to make the two great luminaries, the greater luminary for dominating the day and the lesser luminary for dominating the night and also the stars. Thus God put them in the expanse of the heavens to shine upon the earth and to dominate by day and by night, and to make a division between the light and the darkness. Then God saw that it was good, and there came to be evening, and there came to be morning, a fourth day. And God went on to say, let waters swarm forth a swarm of living souls, and let flying creatures fly over the earth upon the face of the expanse of the heavens. And God proceeded to create the great sea monsters and every living soul that moves about, which the waters swarmed forth according to their kinds, and every winged creature, every winged flying creature according to its kind. And God got to see that it was good. With that, God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and become many, and fill the waters in the sea basins, and let the flying creatures become many in the earth. And there came to be evening, and there came to be morning, a fifth day. And God went on to say, let earth put forth living souls according to their kinds, domestic animal and moving animal and wild beast of the earth according to its kind. And it came to be so. And God proceeded to make the wild beast of the earth according to its kind, and the domestic animal according to its kind, and every moving animal of the ground according to its kind. And God got to see that it was good. And God went on to say, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have in subjection the fish of the sea and the flying creatures of the heavens and the domestic animals and all the earth and every moving animal that is moving upon the earth. And God proceeded to create the man in his image. In God's image he created him. Male and female he created them. Further, God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and become many and fill the earth and subdue it, and have in subjection the fish of the sea and the flying creatures of the heavens and every living creature that is moving upon the earth. And God went on to say, here I have given to you all vegetation bearing seed which is on the surface of the whole earth, and every tree on which there is the fruit of a tree bearing seed. To you let it serve as food. And to every wild beast of the earth, and to every flying creature of the heavens, and to everything moving upon the earth in which there is life as a soul, I have given all green vegetation for food. And it came to be so. After that, God saw everything he had made, and look, it was very good. And there came to be evening, and there came to be morning, a sixth day. And that's the end of Genesis chapter 1, little children. I'm glad I got through that, because I'm not feeling anywhere close to 100% right now. And I guess it's partly because I'm still fasting. That's part of it. I'm essentially not able to eat much. I don't. My appetite's gone, which means I will be losing weight. I want to show you what I look like. I'd love to show you that if I could. Let's put this in the center. And let's expand this. And I want to share a few other scriptures too. We don't want to expand that. Not like that. Hang on a second here. Let's expand it like this. With the Alt key to make our expansion. So there. Now, I don't know if I can show you this. I want to show you what I look like. What my belly button looks exactly normal the way it should look now. There's no extra fat around the belly button, so I'm very happy with that. But you can't even see it probably in this view. But I'm going to turn down the video. My belly button is starting to look normal again, like it used to look. I'm still overweight by a few pounds, but it's not totally destroying my belly button. The appearance of it is not completely engulfed by fat. So I've lost these almost all of my love handles here. I've lost some of my pecs too because I'm not using my upper body all that much. Haven't got my chin up bar yet. Jehovah always puts me in challenges, right? He always gives me challenges. So, I mean, that belly button, that's the way I think I'm actually content with the way it looks right now. I can't see it myself right now. Let's make it bigger. Let's make this bigger. So we go, Alt. Let's zoom in on that. then expand it in size like that. So, well, right now I'm leaning forward. It's going to cause a fold, a little bit of fat in my belly. But here, this thing here, yeah, it's going to stand up particularly. It's, you'll see, it's rather more normal looking. I still have a little excess fat here. And the tightest I can get it in is like that. So, you know, I mean, when I draw it in, it's, that's muscle. But I mean, I've got to try to get better so I can eat, because I'm not going to be feeling well if I don't eat. But I did shovel, like I said, I shoveled 4 inches of snow today, and these images are not, none of my images are ever altered as far as the content of the images. I might do a slight color adjustment, but none of my photos are altered to alter the content or to be deceptive in any way, not at all. So, even though there are people who have used many techniques that, or many things like that, many programs. There we go. Let's go back. Let's get back to this. There are people who are possibly out there doing deceptive things with images. I'm not doing that, just so you know. But it shows I've lost the weight, and now I can wear all my belts. Like I said, all my belts now fit again. I'm thrilled about that. I really am. But on the other hand, I'm sad because I've just ordered a whole bunch of hardware for making my own belts, because I couldn't wear my old belts, and now I don't have to make any new belts. So I'm sad about that, because I ordered all that stuff. You just don't know, right? I mean, I didn't need that, so I probably shouldn't have ordered it, but I'm considering now a different car purchase. But I think I have to wait until, because I might want to, it might be very useful to have a car for the next 14 years or so, before I have to start doing tests every 2 years to prove that I can drive, you know, that sort of thing. I might wish to have a car in those 14 years, and I think, I don't know, but I think it would be, it could be an electric, but it wouldn't have to be an electric, I guess, because 14 years probably wouldn't require much maintenance for most cars in 14 years, but a lot less maintenance with an electric. So, and I'm thinking electric, but I'm wanting to wait until the price goes cut in half, which should happen fairly shortly for these electric cars. The price is going to come down to, they're going to be cheaper than gas cars, I believe. That's what's going to happen very soon. It's going to be, they may even be $10,000 cars very soon, and especially if I only need it, and if I only want a small car, the price might be very low on that. There are cars already that are very small, and there are cars that are not expensive either, but they're not easy to obtain in Canada sometimes. But anyway, let me show you what else I wanted to show you in the scriptures, and then we'll sign off, I think, because I'm not at all feeling well. I'm not 100%, but I'm far from it. I have a story, yeah. Okay, so in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 23, Paul wrote, "All things are lawful, but not all things are advantageous." All things are lawful, but not all things build up. So you see, just because all things are lawful, as Paul said, that is, there's really nothing that's not lawful. It's just whether it's going to help when we do it. If it helps people when we do it, it doesn't harm anyone, but it helps, let's say it helps the whole world when we do it, then that is not only lawful, but it is advantageous. Just like I was saying about if I re-record someone else's music, but I do it better than the original version of it, or any of the subsequent versions, if I do better, then that is perhaps going to be appreciated by the copyright holder and not considered as infringement either, because it's bringing some kind of advantage. That's the idea, okay? I wanted to tell a story. I was mugged. And I had my wallet taken from me, and my wallet, believe it or not, it arrived back to me through the mail. So I got all my credit cards back, but I'd already canceled them, of course, so I had to throw out the old cards. But this happened, I don't even know exactly how many years ago. It was possibly even in the 1990s that this happened. I wonder if it could have even been in the 80s, 90s, or even in the early 2000s, that decade of 2000 to 2010. I'm not sure when it happened, but I don't think it was later than that. But it was not a violent mugging. I had befriended the person who mugged me by, you know, sharing my funds, my financial resources with him. And it just so happened that we were at a tavern somewhere drinking, and then we went to another tavern, and we were drinking beer basically. But I'm not sure if actually I was drinking in those days at that time, if I was drinking alcohol or not. I may have just been drinking non-alcoholic at that time, which I started to do. But he was drinking whatever he wanted, but I was paying for it, and he was a very muscular, small person, but muscular. And so then he attempted to get me to pay him to buy some drugs for him and his girl friend, who was just a friend of his, I believe. But she was saying she was a prostitute, and she wanted, she was offering sex for money, which I declined. But then when they wanted money for drugs, I said, no, I can't give money for drugs. So that's when it came to be in the parking lot with just, well, I guess the girl was there too, but this gentleman did not hurt me or anything. He just, he got my wallet. He forced me to give him my wallet, or he took it out of my pocket himself, without any assistance from anyone else. He forced my hand, and he pried my wallet from my clothing, and then, you know, that was the last I saw of him and that girl. But my wallet arrived back at home a few days later. I'd already at that point canceled my credit cards, of course. But that was an interesting event situation, or what do you want to call it, an interesting thing that happened. And it was more interesting because afterward, for many years now, I've been thinking, how likely was it that they did in fact buy drugs with that money? Or if they did buy drugs, and I don't know how much money was in the wallet, might have been a few hundred dollars, I don't know. But if this person and that girl bought drugs with it, it's occurred to me many times, probably they did not really enjoy very much the use of that money, if they use it in that manner, in that way, in that illegal way, knowing that I told them I didn't want them to use that money for drugs. I've wondered many times if they really enjoyed that, or if they even bought drugs, or if they bought something else they needed instead, like food or something, or, you know, who knows. That's occurred to me many, many times. And that's the story of when I was mugged. Okay. Brings back a few memories. So there's a scripture from 1 Corinthians, the letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, the first letter, about things that are lawful but not necessarily advantageous. It's interesting. Yeah, it's very interesting. That's something to ponder and pray about. I think I pray for all the brothers everywhere around the world who are seeking to do what is lawful and advantageous. That is the thing. But all things are lawful. So for the brothers who are attempting, striving to do things that are advantageous, those are the ones for whom I'm praying in Jesus' name. Jesus the Messiah, in his name. So thank you for listening today, little children. And it is March 1st, 2023. It's 1330 hours, and my name is Ward Green. Praise Jehovah in the heights above. Praise the true God and his Son, the Anointed One, Jesus. Seek first, always, God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. Have a wonderful day. Bless you and bless God and his Son, Jesus. Bye for now.